favorite, the NBC Breakfast Club, was Don McNeil.
Good morning, good morning. We like to see you smile. Good morning, good morning. It makes your life worthwhile. It's now first call to breakfast, and marching time is near. So why not march and listen? We'll play it for you here. Good morning, good morning. This comes right from the heart. Good morning, good morning. Let's go, it's time to start. With our songs and laugh appeal, serve to brighten up your meal. Good morning, good morning. Take a cue from Don McNeil.
All right, friends, as we have every morning, but with even more spirit, we march for the United States Armed Forces, wherever they may be. Everybody, march! Everybody. Now, Nancy, let's do a little play this morning,
shall
we?
Oh, fine. Let's do.
The scene is a college in College Park, Georgia.
Well, you're getting lots of new ones lately.
Oh, sure.
No more Davenport now.
Huh? Well, we'll come back to that sometime or other.
About time they quit using Joe Miller.
All right. Okay, Nancy, I am the professor and you're a student, see?
Uh-huh.
And you come into my office and you say,
oh, Professor, you're wonderful.
Yes,
sir. Did you read the paper I turned in for the exam? Oh, good. Let me kiss you, Professor. There. Oh, whatever do you think of me now that I've kissed you?
You'll pass.
Oh. Not that I doubt the love that you have for me. The warmth that is in your skin. Although our skies are clear, if ever clouds appear, darling, please promise me this. Be fair. Whatever you do, be fair. Won't you, sweetheart? You know just how much I care. Don't you, if you could ever discover your heart made a little mistake. You're feeling inside. We still can be friends, though our love affair ends. Be fair whenever we're far apart. Won't you know I love you with all my heart?
Nice, Nancy. It's lovely indeed. Say, Joe, brush off a nice chord in G for me, will you? Because I would like you to send it all the way to Kansas City, Missouri, where station KCMO, I am informed, is inaugurating their joining of the network this morning by taking the Breakfast Club, which they will take from now on. Jack Stewart, the genial general manager of radio station KCMO in Kansas City, Missouri, informs me, and we're mighty happy to have him with us. Shoot him a chord in G, will you, Joe, boy? There you are, Kansas City. Well, being with you, and well, having you with us. Hope you will be for a long time with us around the breakfast table of the air. Go and talk to a couple of our Breakfast Club friends here this morning who are with us. For example, we have a fellow named Willard Dean of Shreveport, your old hometown, Louisiana,
oh,
Jack.
Oh, boy, sure.
Leaving for South America.
Where is the man?
Huh? I don't know.
Where is the man? Oh, way back there, huh? Would you mind coming over here and meeting me halfway? Okay, as long as you're going away to South America, why, you won't mind a little trip like this. Where are you going to go in South America, sir?
It's British West Indies, off the coast of South America.
Off the coast of South America. Fine, when are you leaving?
Leave this afternoon, 3:30.
Oh, is that so? You're flying down, or?
Boat.
Boat, huh? Well, fine. Willard, best of luck to you.
Thank you very much.
And when you get back, drop in and see us again, will you?
I'll certainly do.
All right, well, boy. We have a lady with a very nice name. If I can pronounce it, Anna DeLucia. I think that would be. That's the way you pronounce Santa DeLucia. She's from Chicago, I believe. Is that pronounced right?
DeLuca.
DeLuca. I thought two C's were T.
No,
T. Pardon me for when I said I didn't mean to to get you there. You're looking for a job, are you?
That's right.
Fine. I have to show you going looking for a job.
That's right.
What kind of job are you looking for?
Clerical
work, right. Huh? Well, I hope you find it. After you do, sneak off sometime. Come back here and tell us about it, will you? All right. Well.
Tom.
Yes, Jack.
I don't. Maybe I could use a secretary, but there are a few requirements that I would ask.
Oh, I see. What, for example?
Well, you suppose would she be able to sit on my knee and take a letter? Sure.
Jack, anybody that could find your knee when you're sitting down would have to be a magician, not a secretary. Have we got Guy Matson with us this morning around the breakfast table? Yeah, where is he? I don't see him.
Yeah,
we have it. What? Mrs. Guy Matson is here? Well, how do you do, Mrs. Matson? How are you?
Just fine, thank you.
You're not Guy.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. We take you now to London.
The new dangers, either here or in the United States. The enemy is attacked with an audacity which may spring from recklessness, but which might also spring from conviction of strength. We have no reason to doubt, said Mr. Churchill, the justice of our cause, or that our strength and willpower will be sufficient to sustain it. We have at least 4/5 of the population of the globe upon our side. We are responsible for their safety and for their future. In the past, we had a light which flickered in the present. We have a light at present. We have a light which flames. And in the future, there will be a light which shines over all the land and sea. Mr. Churchill has now finished speaking in the House of Commons. Most observers, I think, will agree that this was not one of Churchill's great examples of oratory. He was sober, dignified, and calm.
Mr. Churchill has just said that when we think of the insane ambition and the insatiable appetite which have caused this vast and melancholy extension of the war, we can only feel that Hitler's madness has infected the Japanese mind, and that the root of the evil and its branch must be extirpated together. The Prime Minister went on to say that it is of the highest importance that there should be no underrating of the gravity of the new dangers that Britain has to meet with here or in the United States. The enemy has attacked with an audacity, he said, which may spring from recklessness, but which may also spring from a conviction of strength. And Mr. Churchill predicted that the war may probably be long.
After Mr. Churchill was finished, a general debate began. The first speaker was Mr. Lee Smith of Labor, who pointed out the old question which is bothering many British people here today, which is what's going to happen to American supplies to Britain. And this is what Mr. Lee Smith said. A consequence of Japan's aggression might be that the equipment of the United States might be delayed and to some extent diverted. This was an occasion, therefore, he said, which again called for unceasing toil from the workers of this country.
Members of the House of Commons, it was noted today, cheered loudly when Mr. Churchill said that British forces had engaged the Japanese who began landing in British territory in northern Malaya about 6 a.m., 1 a.m. local time, yesterday. It's being pointed out by observers in London today that the Japanese attack followed traditional Japanese lines because the Japanese started their war with Russia 35 or so years ago by attacking Port Arthur before declaring war. And the Japanese followed Hitler's technique in picking the opponent who looks the toughest and hitting him with everything you have.
One of the things which British observers, as I've said, are bothered about is the possible decrease in American supplies to Britain. And one of the things they're pleased about is the fact that America seems to be unified as never before. Mr. Lee Smith, the Labourite speaker who followed Mr. Churchill in the House of Commons, tied these two together. And he said that Japan's attack on the United States and the consequent possibility of a delay in American equipment might be an occasion which called for unceasing toil from the workers of this country and should unify this country more than anything else. The rest of the meeting in the House of Commons is still going on. The sitting lasted only half an hour.
Before news of the Japanese declaration of war on Britain arrived here yesterday, there wasn't the slightest trace of hesitancy in Britain. The British, by that I mean everyone, were ready to move at once against Japan in fulfillment of Mr. Churchill's pledge to America. The Japanese declaration of war against this country and Japanese attacks on the British Empire have only deepened the British determination to smash the Axis.
The half-hour sitting in the House of Commons is now finished. Mr. Churchill has made his speech in which he announced that Great Britain is at war with Japan. And now the House has finished its sitting, and we have no more news of it, and now we return you to our studios in New York.
Keep tuned to this station for further news. We return you to our regular program.
Happy, played by Joe Galicchio and the boys. And you're listening to the Breakfast Club, ladies and gentlemen. And here is good old friend Jack Baker.
Well, look, Joe may want to be happy, but it'd be awful hard for me to be happy.
What's the matter with you?
Well, I've got budget trouble again.
Oh, yeah.
My budget needs a nudget.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So starting off Monday by making it a Sunday may be easy to say to do. But for me, I say for you, my Monday is blue. Boo-hoo. That's the title.
That's the title.
Now, all right, here's my budget. 3 balls of darning wool, 50 cents each, $2.25.
What's that, huh?
3 balls of darning wool, 50 cents each. Darning wool, 50 cents each, $2.25.
Yeah, $2.25. That's $1.50.
Yeah. Well, look, I bought 2 and I went back the next morning and wool had gone up.
Oh, yeah, I see.
I wanted it to darn my woolen socks for winter.
You did?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then I had to buy 6 spools of darning cotton. 5 cents each, 20 cents. I picked the cotton for the guy, so...
Oh, that's good to recall.
I had to get this darning cotton to darn my underwear for the winter. Mm-hmm. It's all full of holes.
It is.
Yeah. And I bought 4 spools of darning silk. That didn't cost nothing.
Yeah.
Didn't cost anything.
What's that? Who's that for?
That's for Joe.
Galicchio?
Yeah, Galicchio. Joe paid for it if I would promise to darn the silk lace on the end of his shirt tail.
Oh.
And if you don't believe Joe. He's got lace on his shirt tail, ask him to show you.
Why, Joe. I don't believe it.
Huh? Well, he has, too.
Well, he's also got his hands full. Nobody's going to find out this morning. All right. And now here's Jack Baker singing Hill Reveille for you. Now for inspiration time around the breakfast table this morning. Inspiration time. Just a reminder, friends, that whatever happens, no matter how black things may look, or mothers who possibly have boys away from home who might not be able to get home this Christmas, don't you lose your Christmas spirit this year, because the greatest single gift that we people of the Americas possess, a faith in God and a sense of humor. And also, don't forget, sometimes you can strike a giant who is dozing momentarily. When the giant is awakened, look out. So, whatever else we lost among the years, let us keep Christmas still a shining thing. And whatever doubts assail us or what fears, let us hold close one day, remembering its poignant meaning for the hearts of men. And let's get back our childlike faith again. Wealth may have taken wings, and yet still there are clear window panes to glow with candlelight, and there are boughs for garlands, and a tinsel star to tip for some fir tree's lifted height. And there's no heart too heavy or too sad, but some small gift of love can make it glad. And there are home sweet rooms where laughter reigns, and we can sing the carols as of old. And above the eastern hills, a white star swings. And there's an ancient story to be told. Oh, there are kind words and cheering words to say. So don't forget, let's be happy on the Christ Child's Day.
Thank you.
White Cliffs of Dover. Just played by Joe Galecki on the voice for Inspiration Time. Now listen to those vagabonds swing out with I Love You Again.
I'd love you again if you'd give me the chance. I'd love you again just like a new romance.
Just like a new romance.
I'd forget the many tears I've shed in the past. Time it would last. I'd love you again and forgive every lie. I'd even forget we ever said goodbye. I fooled
I've never stopped loving you. Nice going, boys. Now here's one we can all kind of hum together along with Nancy and Jack. Good old favorite. Shine on, Harvest Moon. That's well. Just before I call on Bill Krenz this morning, I want to show you that Santa Claus is very active these days. In fact, P.C. Henby, Jr., down in Kingston, North Carolina, has sent me Santa Claus's answer to a little boy's letter. Probably your little boy and little gal is writing letters to Santa Claus these days. Well, Santa Claus answered one little boy, and here's what he wrote. He said, "Dear Johnny, I received your letter last week, and I was glad to learn that you've been so mild and meek. And you say that you've been mighty good, so you want a pretty red car with a long, shiny hood. You also say that you study every night, and you help your mother with all your might, and you milk all the cows and feed the hogs and clean up the house and cut the logs. And you tell me that you're so nice and never play rough. But, Johnny, you just didn't tell me enough. Do you remember not so very long ago when you pushed little Jack's head deep in the snow? And a month before that at your cousin's party, you put a frog down her back and acted like a smarty? And who was it that put that tack on the seat that caused old Mrs. Brown to jump 20 feet? And why didn't you mention the day you skipped school for a hike in the woods or a swim in the pool? So from now on, Johnny, don't you keep anything from me, and you'll find your red car right under your Christmas tree." Yeah, kind of cute idea,
that. That gives me an idea.
Don't keep anything back from Santa Claus, Johnny.
No, sir.
Leave him know what you've been doing. All right.
It's part of it, anyway.
Yeah.
Well, he knows anyway.
Sure, he knows. And we know that Bill Krenz is going to play Make Believe. Play it, Billy. Thank you. Bill Cran playing make-believe, and before you know it, the time is up this morning practically for us around the breakfast table. We hope you've had a swell time this morning, and that you'll be with us again tomorrow at the same place and same time around the breakfast table of the air. We'll be looking for you then. Last call to breakfast.
So long, you breakfast lovers, this ends our meeting. For once again tomorrow, you hear our greeting.
Yes, breakfast lovers, we'll be looking for you at your usual place around the breakfast table of the air. In the meantime, take care of yourself all day long. Keep a stiff upper lip, and we'll be looking for you tomorrow. Speaking for the whole gang here this morning, this is your Toastmaster, Don McNeil, saying so long and be good to yourself.
America is up. The Breakfast Club now is the air.
The Breakfast Club of Don McNeil comes to you from Chicago. This program is heard in Canada through the facilities of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. This is the National Broadcasting Company.